Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
I have come before you again, a new day. Is that every new day comes with new package? May I have an encounter with that new package for my life, for my nation, for my family, for the body of Christ today. May I not just come for the sake of filling up space. May there be an encounter that will transform my life. That when I leave this conference today, I'll become a new man. When I leave this conference today, I'll become a transformer. Wherever I go, I begin to impact lives in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes, O Lord, to see and experience you. And as we behold you, we'll be transformed into your image, Lord. That no more will they see us, O Lord, they will see you, Father. In our lives and in all our dealings in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless your name this morning. Open our eyes, O Lord, of understanding to comprehend, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we just bless your name this morning. We give you all the praise, glory, and adoration. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Before you take your exalted seat, just shout a big hallelujah to somebody and say, I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated like the king and the queens and the priest and priestess that you are. Amen. Please, family members in the house, you know it's a rare privilege to stand before great men of God to minister. I'm standing here today not on my own accord, but because I was sent. And the ones that sent me, they are here today. Please join me to celebrate my parents. Oh, hallelujah. No, Reverend, I'm going there, sir. I'm going there, sir. I'm going there, sir. Praise the Lord. And we have other men of God in the house. Please join me to celebrate the entire pastorate and those visiting from outside. I love you all with the love of the Lord. And family members, I love you. Praise the Lord. I just want to say this. It's not a matter of braggadocious, but a matter of God's faithfulness. You know, I have stood in platforms, various platforms, and before now to minister. But when I was told I'll be ministering this morning upon this mountain, I said, this is a different platform I have never stood on. I have been archbishop for some months now. You know, but I've never man. It's my first podium since I became an archbishop. So I just want you to appreciate my parents in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No, I'm going somewhere. You know, yesterday I was being interviewed and they asked me what's my next level of aspiration. I said, when I leave this mountain, I'm hearing God differently. I might be leaving the level of an archbishop, because when you stretch, you don't remain an archbishop anymore. You need to go to a different realm. And the Lord will speak. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have come. People have spoke, and they are still speaking, even upon this mountain. But everyone that comes have a word. But if you hear the word is revolving around one thing, it's what our parents have been saying over and over times, and it's what they're still saying, because, you know, when God gives you a vision, he gives you people that will help you echo it and align with it so that people will begin to hear it more. The more you hear it, the more you become it. Praise the Lord. So what I'm going to be saying this morning is not different, but it might be in a different light. But same thing, hallelujah. Coke is beverage, Fanta is beverage, but different taste. And they accomplish the same purpose. It's quenching of taste, isn't it? Hallelujah. But sometimes the more you drink these things, the more thirsty you become. But there is something that you will drink and you never get thirsty again. And that is water. Amen? That's why Jesus Christ said, the water I give to you, if you drink of it, you shall test no more. Praise the Lord. Thank God for stretch. And stretch is a command. And it's been given. When the command is given, responsibility accomplished. And our anchor scripture, which we have been reading, Isaiah 54, it's a very profound scripture. Somebody cannot rejoice while in a state of ipligidi-ipligidi. That's a state of downtroddenness, meaning a state of hopelessness. That's what I mean. You can't rejoice when you are down. That's why that song that says, when trouble, the original distinct is not the one who now say when success comes my way. No. It's when trouble comes your way. Can you still praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. So, sing, O ye barren. It's difficult to sing when you are barren. When you go to bed in the morning, you wake up in the night. There is nobody to say mommy or daddy. You are bothered. And in the kind of society we live in, a lot of people will keep asking questions. And the more questions they ask, the more bothered you become if you don't know who you are. So when he says, sing, O ye barren, it's a command he has given you. It's not pleasing to the body. That's why stretch is not pleasing. If I had my catapult here now, I would have given you an illustration. Stretch. Stretch. It's not funny. It's not easy. And stretch is not palatable. Because for everything you stretch, somebody put your hand on your skin like this. Put your hand on your skin. Pull it. What do you feel? You feel pain. Stretch comes with pain. But if you leave it and it relaxes, you feel that you see that part you stretch is relaxed even after the stretch. When they say massage, what does massage do? They massage your body, isn't it? They stretch in your body. Then what do you feel after the massage? You feel a calmness, relax. That's not where I'm going to this morning. I'm just saying this as an appetite. So let me go to where I'm going to this morning. Tell your neighbor I become responsible. So I'll be discussing this morning on take responsibility. Oftentimes in this part of the world, we run from responsibility. Responsibility matures you. Responsibility enlarges you. And responsibility increases you. The Lord gave me a scripture for this. It's a scripture we all know. You know, a long time ago, very many years ago, when Mama was teaching us, very many years ago, we were still in the Assembly of Spirit and Truth. Many years ago. She did said, how do you know what God has called you to do? He said, that thing that angers you in your spirit is an indication, it's a pointer to what God is telling you to go and change or cure. You know, some of us are irritated by a scattered environment, isn't it? And when you get there, you find yourself, you want to put things in order. It's a pointer. Some of us are irritated by oppression. When you see an oppression and you don't take the next move to correct that oppression, it shows that you have become complacent, not wanting to take responsibility like we do in this part of the world. We complain and we don't take responsibility. Nigeria, jaga, jaga, Nigeria scatter everywhere. What are you doing in your small domain to make sure the Nigeria not scatter, scatter, or Nigeria not jaga, jaga? Let me not go too far to the bigger society. Just take your little environment. You know, most times when we clear front of our compound, your fence starts here and ends here. So there is bush here to here, isn't it? The next compound is maybe not up to this stretch, and there is bush here. When you call somebody to clear for you, you will tell the person, end here. You know why? Because this side is not your place. It doesn't concern you. So it's only front of your house that is neat. And meanwhile, what you need to add to it for the person to just take it this way is not up to 500 naira. You come out in front of your house. You see piece of paper scattered everywhere. We walk past it as if it doesn't concern us. But eventually that piece of paper came out from your compound. And you see breeze blowing it. Tomorrow you say gutter block. Why we gutter not block? Nehemiah chapter 1. You know, sometimes we live in a palatial building and we think the mud house beside us does not matter. It does matter because the rat over there will cross over to your palatial compound. No matter how you fumigate it, they are just waiting. They will relax for a while. And the more you fumigate, a time is coming. They will no longer. They will grow immunity against the fumigation. So when they come, they will just be looking at you. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 1. Are we there? He said, these are the what? Of Nehemiah, son of Nekaliah, in late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Scroll up. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from what? From captivity. And about how things were going on in Jerusalem. Scroll on. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been what? Torn down. And the gates are what? They destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to God of heaven. If you read after then, it was the prayer that Nehemiah made. Nehemiah heard, he inquired. You know, most time our people in diaspora, just like that man of God that came yesterday was speaking, they inquire about what is going on about the health sector. Do you know that the best brains in diaspora when it comes to medicine as Nigerians? You sit over there and be praying much from that side to the ones that are using their head to treat you. Over there, if you see a doctor on a computer, they tell they treat you. They'll be looking at the computer and be giving you your diagnostic at this thing. And yet we have people, they don't use computer, they know what is wrong with you. You betray him out. No. This man inquired. Haven't inquired, he did stop at inquiry. He said, no, it's a time to take responsibility. My father's city cannot be in ruin. Nigeria cannot be in ruin. We have great administrators outside this country. Go and see them as spheres of influence. Doing exploit outside the shores of this country. If it can work, they can work here. He said no. You know, he would have been complacent. He would have been more relaxed in the king's palace. If you read where we're going to in chapter 2, and Nehemiah was not hungry. Somebody that serves the king, the cupbearer, he wasn't hungry. Man, in short, he drinks the wine first before the king because he must test it. So he wasn't hungry. In his testing, he can go up like 1 gallon and say, no, and I've not gotten this the taste that the king would like. Even if the king says, serve me, he'll say, no, sir, the taste I know you like, I've not gotten. Let me test it again. He said, no. He didn't stop there. If you read after then, in that same chapter 1, he said he went into prayer. asking for repentance for himself, his family, and his entire nation. So before you take responsibility, pray for it. You know why you need to pray? The direction on how to go. Not just direction, favor on how, on who to meet. Most time we want to do some radical change. You don't jump into the battlefield without consulting and getting strategy on how to take responsibility. Tomorrow the trail, you say there is no God. God was there. It's not that he didn't inquire. He wanted to do it by physical capability. The Bible said the race is not to the swift or the physically. He said, but to whom? Who the Lord has showed what? Mercy. In this race of transformation, in this race of responsibility, you need prayer. That's why one of the cardinal, if I say cardinal, I know what I mean. I'm not saying cardinal. I don't mean cardinal of the. When I say cardinal, you'll be thinking, no. The cardinal points of Faith Foundation is prayer. He said, if my people who will and humble themselves and pray, seek my face, he said, I will hear them. Nehemiah said, no, I must take responsibility. I haven't prayed. It got to the time now of seeking to go take the responsibility proper. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah now was before the king. Most time when you are before the king, when before the president, what's your agenda? Are you going to be speaking of yourself? You know, most time when we stand before king, we think it's time for us now. It's supposed to be about me. You'll not be laying your own problem before the king. No, that's not why God brought you before the president. You know, most time why some big men don't answer us when you see them, we're asking for their pocket. If they give you the first time, when they hear your footstep from distance, they will tell the person, don't open the door for him. But when you give that man a troubling idea that will make him not sleep, he will become restless overnight. He will say, call him for me. He will be the one sending for you. How do you think we can solve this problem? Because you have prayed and God has given you strategy. Where you align it, it will make sense to him. He said, my city is in ruin. And proud before them, before the king, his countenance changed. You know why his countenance changed? He wasn't just angry because he was hungry. He was angry in his spirit because of a curse in there to go and carry out. And the king saw the anger in his face and said, what is it? Because he has never been angry before the king. And if you're angry before the king, there's no way you can serve him wine because it shows something is wrong with what you want to give to me to drink. He said, what is it that troubled your mind? And he laid down all. And the king asked, if I discharge you now, when are you going to come back? Do you know why the king was asking when for his return? Because nobody he has searched. There's nobody that can do that work like Nehemiah. That's why the man of God, one of the men of God that spoke here, he said, make yourself indispensable. Yeah. In as much as, yes, you want to. But when you leave, let it be that the people will not stop talking about you. They will miss you with a missing thing. Praise the Lord. And he did just stop there. He did not ask for money for transport. You have seen the president. You say, I want to go. That you want to go, it's not because you want to go. You are saying, I want to go so that make it give you small things so that you use in transporting. He will look at you and say, this one, you beggar. He said, I desire of these things from you. Because of the cost that is before me, these and these and these are what I need. Give me a letter for passage. Not just a letter for passage. Also, give me a letter to so and so that I will obtain timber. Those are building materials. Tools of effectiveness. You want to transform a nation. And you are before the king. You are before the president. He's saying, what do you want? Instead of you to say, I want to go to Harvard University and study this kind of this thing. You say, give me 1 million. I need to get her. No. Why do we put the cat before the horse? For every problem you solve, your belly will be solved also. If you don't know, your belly solving is in the problem solving. Nehemiah went. And that takes me to the next level of what I want to be speaking about. You know the same responsibility Nehemiah took? David took the same responsibility. In 1 Kings 17, if you read from 27 down so, he said he came down from the pasture land where he used to tend his father's sheep. And he inquired, they gave him food to go and give to his brothers, isn't it? In the battlefield. So when he got there and gave them, they thought he came to mock them. He was asking, what is happening? And they said, come on, friend. No. That same thing happened to Nehemiah in the name of Sambalat and Tobias. For every time you decide to take on a tasky responsibility for national transformation, you must have Sambalat and Tobias. And there are not people far from you. They are within your carcass. Those that will say those things to you, it will kill your spirit. David went again to the other people. They gave him same report. But that did not deter him. That's why I love my father so much. He's not deterred by what he's saying. Pick the small testimony in it of what you have been doing. Reposition has been on for years now. Under normal circumstances, it's a time to give up. The more you see, the more you will hear news. No, don't look at the bad one. Take the small good one. Of what your prayer and your effect is doing in the society. And he took on that mountain and said, oh ye mountain before Zerubbabel. Oh ye uncircumcised Philistines. See, we are in the yet of mouth. In as much as possible, when Reverend spoke last week, in James, there is a time to talk and there is a time to be silent. Know when to talk. David did not keep silent because at that time he needed to speak. He said this one. He said, I can bring him down. They say you. So most time, don't chicken yourself. Don't look at the size of yourself to say you can't take on that mountain. You know, some of us are good writers here. Some of us are media practitioners. Some of us are engineers. You hear building collapsing. I sat down. I was asking somebody the other day. I said, is it that we don't want to do some monumental structures in our society? You hear people travel from here to France. When you get to France, there's a place you must go to. You must go to Paris to see the Eiffel Tower. It's been there for God knows when. You travel to Canada. You want to see the CN Tower, which was the tallest building in the world at the time. Those are monumental structures. Can't we have men that will sit down and say, no, let me do something that will bring people from a far country to my country. That's taking responsibility. Let me build a structure that will make the world wow. Have you seen the world's biggest stadium? The Chinese people are about to build. It's like a rose flower. We got brains. Tell your neighbor you got brains. Don't let your immediate stomach pressure put you under tension. Don't sell your bet right. Take responsibility. Hunger does not kill. It stretches your stomach. It's just feeling, body feeling, that makes you think you are hungry sometimes. You're actually not hungry. How many of us know that when you don't think about food and you are walking, you actually don't know that you have eaten? And you walk from morning to night. It is maybe later in the night, not doing it. No, I actually have not eaten. Stretch yourself. Tell your neighbor, I will stretch myself. And it's because of stretching, because of taking responsibility. Don't let people pull you down. Don't let my voice drown yours. And mind who you share your vision with. Some people are vision destroyers. You say, I want to cut out this road. I say, now let you take that road. Don't you have need for money? Must you tie road for government? In our little ways, let's take responsibility. In the street of Toronto, 2018, my boy and the wife were in the car. The wife just put to bed. Two things happened. He was pressed. That is, he wanted to wee-wee. We had to drive a long distance to look for an eatery or a fort, this thing, to go wee-wee. For here, you just park somewhere. You just went, as if you are discharging for it. And I asked her, I said, no, he said, you can't do it. If they catch you, it's against the law. The baby, 10 years old, about 3 months or so, was hungry. The mother could not give baby bread. I said, feed her now, what did they do? He said, no, he said, I can't try it on the road. You're at the back. You can't sit in front. You sit at the back. I said, why? He says, it's against the law. If anything happens in the course of driving and feeding, they catch you. You are in trouble. You pay, you can lose your license. I said, is that so? So this became with crying when we see we are packed to eat. He said, yes, so. The baby was crying. She could not breastfeed the baby. It's a system. They are Nigerians. They have conformed. If they come here, as soon as they land, they will lose responsibility. Let us not be responsible outside the shores of this country. And then when we get to this area, we'll become irresponsible. That's what Reverend called bipolar. As I round up this moment, in which area do you want to stretch? I just highlighted three areas. Four, rather. Stretch in your study life. More than ever before, you're going to be reading. Become a voracious reader. My late principal said, "Say, read as if you are going to die, you will not die." Reading stretches your brain. And the more you don't study, the more cells in your brain dies. It gets to a time you start forgetting some things. You don't know why, because the brain is not being put into active use. Stretch in your prayer life. You know, one person I want to quickly speak about here is in 1 Samuel 1, 12 to 16, about the lady Hannah. Hannah has been praying. You know, we may have been praying, but it's a way to pray. Hannah was barren. The family members, the stepwife, and her mates, taunted her because of children matter. Every now and then they go to Shiloh, they come to cure for desert places. No answer. But upon this mountain, cure for desert places, stretch 2020. She came in a different style. The Bible said she prayed to the extent that Reverend saw, Mama saw, and said, come, you drink this money. And she said to Mama, I said, come, I never drink. I'm just pouring my heart. He said, that thing you seek, you find. So there is a way to pray. She stretched her prayer life. And she got results. Then you must stretch in your giving. It's often been said by Reverend. Every preacher that has come here have also said it. You don't give because you want to get. You have been made to give. The getting will come. But as you get, it's just an indication of you to give the more. Anna prayed, she got. She became generous with her what? Her child. Praise the Lord. She did not hold back. Under a normal circumstance, Mama, a child you have prayed for years, under a normal circumstance, and peradventure, maybe you and Anne Willie were mates, same husband. and I'm really speaking as you've sent a message, not agree. Then you come on. What would you have known under a normal circumstance? You go and do shakara for now. You say yes. Go on, so that go and buy me bread. So that he will know that you not have your that you are sending. No, the motive at that time will be wrong for God giving you that gift. He said no. A priest was needed. And today you can't read the Bible without speaking the two of them. So you must stretch in your giving. God gives you 1 million. God gives you talent. It's not for your hoarding. It's for the building of souls and the building of nations. I just want to encourage us today to take responsibility. Tell your neighbor as we rise up on our feet, say, I'll become responsible.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.